Morning, Rabbi Sai. I think today we'll be concluding our discussion on Chof Sivan, which is on Friday, just with a couple of remozim that I saw to Chof Sivan. Megillas Esther is a story of attempted genocide, is a story of when Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews, and I can't remember who I saw it, B'Shem. I think possibly the Prima Godim, I'm not sure, says that there is a remez in Megillas Esther to the attempted genocide of the Jews by Khmelnytsky in Tachtat in 1648 and 1649. He says as follows, that in the Megillas Esther there are two large letters, right, oversized letters. One is the Tof of Vatichtoiv Esther Bas Avichail, that Esther Bas Avichail wrote down the story of Purim after Purim Vatichtoiv Esther, and there's one at the beginning which is Chur Karpasos Cheles, that the Ches of Chur is also a Ches Rabosi, a large letter, together making Tach Tof Ches, which is the year 1648. So he said there's one remez there. Another remez that's brought down is that apparently in Apt, the Oyev Yisrael of Apt was very, very makpid on Chof Sivan. In Apt, they kept Chof Sivan as a proper tarnis, and everybody fasted, and everybody said slichas, and they lined Vayichal, etc., etc. It was taken very, very seriously. It says that the crying and the feeling of sadness that there was on Chof Sivan was similar to Tisha B'Av. They really felt it. Obviously, they lived in the area. Apt was, I don't know, the Oyev Yisrael is buried in Mezhbush, but I'm not sure exactly where Apt is. Probably in that area somewhere. And that's the area where, in the Ukraine, where these Redifas, where these massacres took place in 1648-1649.
What's it called? It's called Tach Vatet, isn't it?
Tach and Tat. Right? Tach. Tach is Tof Ches,
yes.
Which is 408, yes,
yeah.
And Tat is 409.
Well, yeah.
These are the years 1648 and 1649. They're not the names of places;
yes.
They're abbreviations. Okay. Tach is Tof Ches, okay. Which is the Hebrew year 1648, yeah, and the Hebrew year 1649 is Tat, yes.
Okay.
So there must be, was it 4004? Would it have been 4408 and 4409? I'll check it out for you. It'll take a minute. Yeah, but in any event, it's the Hebrew dates corresponding to. So therefore, Tach is Tof Ches. So you've got Vatichtoiv is the Tof Rabosi, and you've got the Ches Rabosi of Chur, which is a remez to Tach. That's one of the remezim that's brought down. The other one, as I said, was in Apt. They were very serious about it. And apparently the Abtarov used to darshan at the time, during the Slichas, or after the Slichas, nud to be ma'ur the people to Teshuvah. And he said something along the lines of that that Chof Sivan is a hachona, exactly how, I don't know, but apparently it's printed in the Sefer Oyev Yisrael towards the end. He says there that Chof Sivan is the prelude, or is the hakdoma to, to Yom Kippur. Yeah, to Yom Kippur, he says. And he says the remez to that is because the Pasuk says when Amalek tried to destroy Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a permanent battle with Amalek. It says, Ki Yod Al Kesko, that the hand of Amalek has been stretched out against the hand of God, against the seat of God, the throne of God. Ki Yod Al Kesko, yeah, Milchoma L'Hashem Ba'Amalek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore has a Milchoma Ba'Amalek, forever, yes. Therefore he says these Gezeris, these Rishoyim come along, and who try to, Homon and others, who try to destroy the whole of Klal Yisrael, they are the embodiment of Amalek, they might even be the descendants of Amalek. It was said that somebody said that the Nazis were descendants of Amalek, however you understand it, but certainly in concept, they're descendants of Amalek. He says, and by Amalek, he says, Ki Yod Al Kesko, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu seat, yeah, Ein Shemoi Sholem, his name is written Yud-Heh, not Yud-Keh Vov-Keh, yeah, because his name is incomplete, Ve'en kisoi sholem, and his throne is incomplete, and therefore it's written case without the aleph on the end. Yod al kesko, mechom Hashem amolek, midor doi, and until Mashiach comes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, ein shemoi sholem, ve'en kisoi sholem, ad sheyavo, until Mashiach comes, and then his HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be, so to speak, instead of being his seat being incomplete, it will be complete. So he said, case ko. He said, ki yod al case ko, he's a case is Chof Sivan, Rosh Tevis, the 20th of Sivan, and ko is Rosh Tevis Yom HaKippurim. Yeah, so he said, therefore, there's a connection between Chof Sivan and Yom HaKippurim. When he dashened on Chof Sivan, he would say that this is somehow in some concept or other. I haven't seen the Sefer inside, but there is a prelude there in Chof Sivan to Yom HaKippurim.
Started the Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Yud Ches 7, 3rd of June. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Olech Shlita of Kol Netzach Yisrael. Recap of Dirishu Erevin, key principles to date, part 3. This week's Torah has been sponsored anonymously. Ulu Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Rav Shum, Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichrono Livracho.
Good morning. Okay, so we continue our overview, macro overview over the halachas of Eruvin. Last time we spoke about, I think, Karf of Sheinu Mukradira. Okay, so I want to go, it's quite a broad concept and it covers quite a few of the Simanim Shulchan Aruch that were done recently in Dirshu, but someone I learned Dirshu with this morning, despite having been there from the beginning, it made the same, it's easy to slip into a misunderstanding between the two quite different concepts. So briefly go over these two things. So we already discussed that in order to be considered a place in Minatari, you can carry in an area, you need mechitzas. So we're going to see, go quick chazar over the various mechitzas, without getting into too much detail, and what you need to sakana, and then the second concept, which is Erevin, which is not the same thing. There's mechitzas and there's Erevin. So in Simanim Shin Samach, Shin Samachay, we know we've already done a few times already that in Hatera, most Rishonim Paskin, you need to have only three mechitzas. Chazal, Wemesakin, this has nothing to do with the Kana of Shlema HaMelech. It's Chazal, Wemesakin, without a tikkun, a mechitza, or something resembling a mechitza on the fourth side, basically, essentially, a sealed on all four sides, then you can't carry. They can't carry mid the Rabbonon. Now, we should make a bit of a deeper dive into the differences between a Mavui and a Chotzer. So in the Zman Gemara, the houses, Batim, were encircled or were around a Chotzer. So the Chotzer was a place, and they had and the purpose of the Chotzer was to do things which people weren't able to do in their bias. So for example, there's no running water, so the Batim, the Chatzeris, were used as a place which were, for us, would be considered probably stuff we do inside our houses, let's say washing or the like. So it was an extension of the use of the house. And there was a joint area, a communal area, where the Batim that surrounded the Chatzah would use the Chatzah for their Tashmishim. Their use, it wasn't a place you just walked out. It was a place where you actually did a place to do utilities. Then each chotzer would open to a mavui, and that was a mavui, an area which was essentially a street, a walkway through to the main Rosh Hasharabim, which was either connecting you to the outer city, how you'd imagine our streets function today. So I'm of the mavoyas, where area were throughways, walkways that people could access from their bias, obviously having to walk through their chotzer first, and then to get to the Mavui, and the Mavui was the place which would use access to get to the Rosh Hasharabim. because of the difference in use, we're going to see the difference in use actually also comes into this to part B, into the Erevin part. But because here in the Mechitzas already, there's a difference in the use between the Chotzer and the Mavui. The Chotzer was where they would do their bit, would be doing things like washing and private more, as opposed to the Mavois, which used for access. So there's a difference in what Chazal, as we said, Chazal required a Tikkun Baruch Revius, and therefore there's a difference between the Hekka, or the type of Mechitzah, the type of Tikkun that you needed on the fourth Ruach of a Chotzer, between the fourth Ruach of a Mavui. A Mavui required less of a Hekka than the Chotzer. Chotzer was more involved use of the Bnei of the Bnei Chotzer. So then you needed to have either a Lechi Mikan and Lechi Mikan. So a Lechi is a short, only 10 tefachim high, would be on each side of the entrance into the Chotzer or exit of the Chotzer, or a Pas Dalet, a wide pass which was 4 tefachim wide, didn't have to be thick, again only 10 tefachim high, but that would be your Hekka for your Chotzer. A Mavui, which is only used for access, so again the Bnei Chatzeres were coming home or going out, leaving to Tishus Rabim, would walk through the Mavui, so the end of the Mavui, which was open to Tishus Rabim, would need either a Lechi or a Kaira. A Lechi is only a pass on one side, a small thin thing, no shear whatsoever, no width, no depth to it, only had to be 10 tefachim high. A lick of paint might even be enough. And then, or alternatively, a koira, a beam less than 20 amas high across the entrance to the Mavui. And those were the two ways of being masakim midrabanon, a Mavui or a Chotzer. Again, if you wanted to use the Shus HaPesach, which is a mamish, a mechitza d'mar Torah, b'vakashal, there's nothing wrong with using an upgraded mechitza with Shus HaPesach, but generally wasn't required. In a Mavui, or a chotzer that was open on both ends, okay, chotzer is hard to imagine, but a mavui, for example, a mavui could have been open to both ends, Trisha Sarabim, then Chazal or Matzrich, that's not enough to put your Lechi Kura on either end. You can use it on one end, the other end would have to have the Tzuris HaPesach. And then it gets more complicated, the mavui mefulash, you may have seen when a mavui that has, it's open on two ends, a mavui okum, sorry, where it's bent in the middle, then you might even need something in the middle of the mavui as well, where it bends. Now, Bezman Hazeh, okay, even before we get to Bizman Hazeh, you may have seen that before, or people who don't want to carry in a Shtar Erov, they will very nicely put a Tzuris HaPesach across the top, bottom of their driveway. They have a driveway with two sides, and then a fence on either side of the neighbor's driveways, and then they'll attempt to make a Tzuris HaPesach. Now, if you look around, after you've learned Tzuris HaPesach, you'll see there's shocking examples of how people design the Tzuris HaPesach. What's most important is that the string that creates the Tzuris HaPesach has to be in line over the two lechayim. It doesn't have to touch them. You can have a lechi, you can have a post here, and string the string across the top of both of them. But it must be in line. If someone puts up two sides of his driveway, at the edges of his driveway, two posts, and ties them on the side of the post, then he has not got a Tzuris HaPesach. So if the string goes around and goes like this, rather than on top, then it's not going to be a good Tzuris HaPesach. Is the nail good?
The nail screwed to the side.
Also not. If you put the nail on the top and wrap it around, then in a chanami it'll be coming off the side of the post, but it'll be coming off the top, and it'll be like this effectively. As opposed to if you put a nail here and you wrap it around, it's not going to be an extension. Other examples where it's not kosher is it has to be taut. It has to be, according to many posts given Chazon Ish, if it blows out of line, so if it's a span, normally your driver will be more than a couple of meters wide. If it's 3 or 4, 5 meters, 6 meters wide, then unless the string is very, very taut, then what's likely to happen not even in a windy day is even if they're coming off the sides of your post here, but if it doesn't continue to be in line across your thing, it may be a problem as well. Especially if it slips off, it can even get to the point where it's not taut enough, and even if you initially tied it around the post to come off, if the wind blows hard enough, it may easily slip off the side, and that's possible l'chaladeus, because it's in that side, it's not on top of the lechi. So that's examples. And if you look around the Tzuris HaPesach we have in a Shtar Erev, in a neighborhood Erev or a town Erev, you'll see they are proper metal poles and they use very tight fishing line so they can get a very good tension on the string so it won't slip off the sides or even move out of line of the Lechayayim. But a homemade Tzuris HaPesach, you have to be very wary to do it very well. It's harder to do. You're probably not using metal posts, you're probably using 2x2s or something, and therefore it's very easy for it not to be taught enough. Yes.
Is there a problem with vegetation growing at the base of the post?
Yes, possibly.
I've heard that you have to cut it back.
You have to cut it back, yes. There's a Mekor Chaim that has three different reasons, and the Chazon Ish argues with one but replaces it with another one. If you can't, if you have vegetation growing in front of the post, then essentially what you've created is a scenario. The easiest way to understand this is that if the vegetation may pose a mechitza, then you have a mechitza, your Torah's pesach is starting behind the mechitza. So essentially what you have, your fence was here, and you put your post next to the fence, which is where it's supposed to be. That's where it seals off. If you have vegetation that grows along in front of the post, so your mechitza has actually moved in. Your mechitza may have skipped out the post of the Torah's Pesach, and now your Torah's Pesach is actually starting from behind a mechitza rather than from being in front of the mechitza. And that is a problem because mechira mechitza, one reason why we might apostle. Another reason why we might apostle is simple, even easy to understand, is the halacha is that the size, the Gemara says, pischi shamoi, if you have jagged, let's say, you broke through a wall in order to create an opening, and it has jagged edges. So you have a brick here and a brick here. They're not smooth lines. Says the Gemara, that's not a kosher pesach, because that's not how people build up psachim. They have nice smooth sides. If your vegetation is in the bottom 10 tefachim, it's actually wrapped around like a vine or something. Which so there may be a problem with pisach shamoy because you haven't got a smooth, nice smooth 10 tefachim at the bottom of your lechi of your post. Those are a couple of the reasons why it might be an issue.
The gap between the string and the post can be very big, can't it?
100%. The reason why we do suppose is only because we can guarantee it's in line with the post.
What do you need for the post? 10 tefachim?
10 tefachim. It's all you need. Yeah.
If you make it a little bit wide, then you're going to...
Exactly. So the solution is, that's why you see often they're actually quite wide. And that way, because generally, because if they're strong elsewhere, it doesn't matter. Or the wind moves a bit, it doesn't really matter because there'll be... Unless it's really where they'll be, exactly. That's the solution, yeah.
Do you need it?
Huh?
Does anybody need it?
Does anybody need it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Does anybody need this personal driveway string?
Yeah, if you're living in an area that's out of the area, then you wouldn't need to have
it. In an area, with an area.
Then you wouldn't necessarily need it, no. Okay, yeah. okay. Now, how do we... Okay, again, before we get into the Erevin part, staying in the area of Mechitzas, how do we treat our... So, as I said, in Zman Gemara, there was a structure where there was batim around the chotzer around the mavui, and the mavui led to the shasaravim. How do we treat our front gardens and our roads today? I'm a voice today. So the Ramah says in Shin Samach Gimel, Sif Chav Vav, the Ramah says the following, let's quote it, why not? He says... the meaning nowadays is the sakin kol hamavoyis b'tzuras haPesach. Despite the fact that the Gemara talks about at length, it's not like a one line of the Gemara. At length, the first period talks about the tikkuni of a mavui, a koyer, and a lechi, and there's multiple halachas involved. I mean, we've all learned, people who don't do this have gone through them. However, our minig is that we don't go settle for anything less than b'tzuras haPesach. The kol hamavoyis shelonu yesh lehem din chatzeras, because our mavoyis. Our mavois all have a din of a chotzer, and a chotzer is not enough to put a lechi or keira. You need to have two lechayim or pas dalad. Okay, that's still not enough to understand why we do Tzuras HaPesach. So the Ramah's statement is that our mavois, we don't have a clarity whether our mavois classify as a mavoi or a chotzer, and they have different needs. The Haminagah Pasha, says the Ramah, is b'medinas eilu and amedinas is a sakna de chevel hakosho, as we said, the string that goes across. And has a din of the and the post on either side to create a Tzuras HaPesach. So there's different reasons the Mibri Alocha at length, Chazon Ish talks about what the problems were. Why is it that we have to upgrade all the way to a Tzuras HaPesach? Theoretically, if something has got a din, even if our mavois have a din of a chotzer, so the single post on one side, the lechi or the kerit isn't enough, why can't you do the upgrade to a chotzer? So if the Ramah was concerned that our streets have a din of a chotzer, so the edge comes to the edge of our Erev and gold is green, so just put two lechi on your side. What's the necessity to make a Tzuras HaPesach? So there's various reasons given. One is that. It may be, probably in 99% of cases it will be, wider than 10 amas. Any area wider than 10 amas, you must have an actual mechitza. All the solutions that Gemara discusses of a lechi or a kora or a pastalet, all the different tikkunei, chotzei, mavui, only work in an area that's less than 10 amas wide. 10 amas wide, the chanosh is about 5 meters. Now 5 meters across the street nowadays isn't very wide. That won't take you very far. And therefore, any area which is wider than 10 amas, by definition, must have a mechitza. And the Tzurus of Pesach, Halacha L'Mishnah Sinai, has this equivalent halacha of a mechitza. And that's the simplest solution, that's the simplest reason why you would require to have a Tzurus of Pesach. There are other reasons. We said earlier that you may have any bend in a mavui would require a Tzurus of Pesach. A mavui mefulush would require a Tzurus of Pesach. So the Amavoyas, even if we assume our streets are Amavoyas, you still very often need Tzurus Pesach, even if it was less than 10 Amas wide, if it's open on both sides to Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So that, in short, is how we construct our Mechitzas. And this deals, Bizman Azeh, the way we create any time we're trying to create an Eiv, whether it's in a cul-de-sac, whether it's on holiday, whatever it is, unless it's actually you have a sealed mechitzas, hermetically sealed around the area, Eruv, then you're going to need a Tzurus HaPesach wherever there's an opening, especially if it's wider than 10.
A bush is considered a mechitzah.
Very good. So it depends how thick they are. If it's a really closely packed leafy bush, then if you send a picture to your Rav, then he's likely to say it's okay. Any bush which is not, you know, proper, you know, the thick bushes are very, I don't know the name, I'm not a gardener, but they're very, very small leaves, and it's really a thick bush, and you can really safely assume that at any point in the bush, the in any possible dimension or any axis, you've got less than 3 tvachim of a lovod, then you can assume it's a solid mechitza. Now, I will say is, besides for that, you have to make sure sometimes, very often, the hedges don't start from the ground. Very often you'll have the roots coming up and the actual hedge starts at somewhat of a height. Now, we know that a mechitza has to be within 3 tvachim from the ground, which isn't very much, it's about 24 centimeters. So if your vegetation doesn't have a proper lovod all the way across the bottom to the ground, and there's any sort of gap at the bottom, that also would be something to consider whether you want to use your hedge as a mechitza. But a proper, you know, one of these properly sculpted hedges, a thick hedge, I think, we wouldn't rely on it, for example, necessarily in the shtots, in a city, because you never know what's going to happen to vegetation. You'd rather rely on a Tzurus HaPesach. Although I think at the Pop of Hoop Lane, where the old atrium, the monks' old atrium is, they, if I'm not mistaken, because of where they have to put the Tzurus HaPesach, I think they do rely somewhat on the hedge that grows in front of it on Finchley Road.
You mean
Ravenscroft? Yeah, Tom Ravenscroft. Sorry, Tom Ravenscroft, yes.
No, he changed it, he showed us.
Oh, you changed it?
Yes. No, he...
Oh, okay.
He wasn't enough. Part of it was okay, part or not. And
they put strings underneath the hedge?
Wiring.
Through the hedge.
Through the hedge. Okay, so you're more up to date than I am.
That's what he showed us. What's the name?
How tall?
Right, Goblet showed us? Oh, very good.
How tall would it be through a hedge?
How tall can it be? Well, if they put posts every so often,
yeah,
they can tie it.
To each end, so they can tap it.
Yeah.
It's a wire. Yeah. Every 3 tvachim, there's another wire.
Okay. So it covers pretty much, hopefully, how to seal a Rosh Hashayachid. However, there's a completely separate topic. Shleim HaMelech was Masakin. He came along and said, "Vine, you're very good. You know what Shas HaYachid is. You know what Shas Rabbi is. You know what Karmelis is. You know what you can't carry. However, I'm introducing a new level of Issa in Hilchos Shabbos. Anything which Chazal decided, which Shleim HaMelech decided, looks similar to Shas HaRabim, is also a reason why you can't carry. What's similar to Shas HaRabim? Shleim HaMelech says, any area which is shared by more than one Yid, so a common Chotzer, a common Mavui, any area you might have done everything completely sealed. It could be literally 4 brick walls around it. Even the big bad wolf can't blow them down. It doesn't make a difference. You can't carry until you make an Eruv together. The pasuk at the end of Perek Aleph says, if my son is wise, then I'm also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, rejoicing. And the Gemara says, it refers to Shleim HaMelech's takonos, 2 takonos. So he made the takonah of Eruvin, and he also made the takonah on Tiyas Sedayim. So I saw the Chazon Sofer Taka says on that Gemara. He says why dafka these takon of Shleim HaMelech, says Chazon Sofer. It's very easy for Chazal to come along and make a sort of problems. Oh, but to make a problem with a solution, that is already a chacham bin Yisachim Gani. That was already a madrigal Shleim HaMelech. So he made the problem. The problem was that it's very nice to have mechitzas, but you also can't carry in an era which was shared by more than one person. But the takon was making Eruv. The Eruv, what's an Eruv? An Eruv means that we take a piece of bread. We'll see the shiurim in a second. Essentially, what we're trying to create with the Eruv is we don't view ourselves on Shabbos as 2 separate households. We join together as 1 single household. And that's even on a very wide Eruv. Somewhere in Golders Green, hopefully there's a box of matzahs. which we all have a schusin, or El guests also have a schusin. It was our das that anyone who moves in should also get a schus in the box of matzahs, and it's in someone's house, hopefully. We'll see. Huh? JLE, yeah, okay, well, I discussed that with someone. Yeah, yeah. It's in a shul. The minute is to put it in a shul. We'll see why, whether or not that's ideal. And. It doesn't have to be Shmura Matzahs.
Do they renew it every year?
They renew every year, yeah.
And with what?
With more matzahs. And the idea is we all live, we all eat Mokum Pita Gairam. The Gemara says that everyone, the place where is Moshe Chid the most is where your food is, not where you sleep. And therefore, since you have food in JLE, so everyone in Gold's Green actually lives in the JLE for Shabbos purposes. And that is the solution to make sure that we're not viewed as separate. Sorry, Olami UK. Sorry, yeah. Perhaps they had to change the box when they changed the name as well. And there's a nusach for it, there's a bracha for the Eruv, there's a nusach for the Eruv, there's actually a woman can theoretically do it, there's actually a Rav in the edges of Golders Green a few years ago who decided to extend, before the Golders Green Eruv, he decided to extend the northwest London Eruv down the Vale, I think it could be even across the Pennine Drive, across the Vale, and he's a member of United Synagogue Shul, and he put on YouTube the video of a woman, a lady in his community, lifting up the box of matzahs and making a bracha on the Eruv. That was interesting. Anyway, so this is, again, this is after I've made sure that we have mechitzas, we have to make an Eruv in an area which contains more than a single Jewish family. Now, what's very interesting to know is the Gemara we pass in like Rav Shimon and Kolgagas that this is only needed for kelim sheshavsu b'bayis, which means if I have mechitzas around an area, I can carry any, and as long as it's not a keli which was in my house bein hashmashas. So, for example, if I'm on holiday and in somewhere in different, because I don't want to talk about Gold's Green because there's an Eruv, but theoretically, or before the Eruv in Gold's Green had my
Princess Park.
Princess Park. Well, it doesn't have an Eruv.
Let him run with his holiday.
Yeah, the holiday. I'm thinking about some holidays already. I haven't yet. So imagine you're on holiday with a few houses, and your kid has a ball outside in the garden, and gets kicked over the fence into another person's garden. There's no need to scream at the kid. He's allowed to jump over the fence and kick the ball back over. There's no issue to carry from a Shusayachid, even a Shleim HaMelech's. Two different Roshias, my Chotzer, your Chotzer, it doesn't matter. When it comes to Kli Bayis or Kli Mavi, there's no necessity to have an Eruv. The Eruv is only required for Kli Sheshavas Babayis. Now, this is also actually very relevant. You may think there's limited, so fine, so I'll make sure that in an area, for example, in Yerushalayim, some people are careful not to carry in the Shtotz Eruv, they only carry in the Shkunati Eruv. So every area has their own mini Eruv, and they only carry in that. What happens if I'm at home Friday night, or before, and I'm going to eat out Friday night, I'm going to eat out Friday night in someone who lives in a different area. So I don't either. My wife pushes the buggy because I don't carry across. So I get there. I get into the Cheder Madrigal. I get outside the building. It's very hot. I take my hat off. So my hat was in my house or whatever. Or my coat was in my house Friday night. I now walked to a different, as far as I'm concerned, a different area, different area. So a different bias, not someone who lives with me. A different area. And then outside in the Chotzer. And before I come in, I'm in the other Eruv already, so I'm going to do that. I take my hat off, and I walk into his house. What you've done is, essentially, you've taken your Kli Bayis, which, as far as you're concerned, belongs in a different Eruv, a different area, and you're carrying it, your Kli Bayis, into his house. So people have to be very careful if you are carrying across what you consider to be two areas, because you're wearing it at the time. So I walked across the area because Golda Meir, whatever road I'm trying to avoid, Bar Ilan, I was wearing my coat at the time. But if you're not careful to take it off within the house of the other person, if you're carrying it from his chatzah to his bias, then you've got a problem because you're essentially carrying in the chumrah of not wanting to carry across a certain two areas of Yerushalayim, you have to be careful that your kli bias isn't carried into someone else's house. Okay.
Can you not go from one area to another?
Is that, say again?
You can't carry from one area to another area.
You can only carry from one area if you're happy with the heksha of both Erevin and there's no intervening gap between the two. So for example, there's different Erevin areas. There's a Stam Erev, there's a Milha Erev, there's an Edra Erev. If you consider all of them to be kosher, and the borders of the Erev are at each other. So you can walk through from one Erev to another, but what you can't do is there's a middle Erev and there's and there's an edge Erev, and you'll walk on the A41, the area which isn't included in either of them. Obviously, you're walking out of the Erev. It doesn't help you walking to another Erev. You have to make sure that you're crossing a boundary which is overlapping, or not overlapping, but touching between two kosher Erevin. Yeah, so but the best on the best and don't always include independent Erevin in their thing if you go on the Besen website, sometimes they'll exclude an Erev they're not happy with from. So you might see a part of London which is covered by the London Besen Erev, and there'll be an area which says independent Erev not under our supervision. So if you are independently happy to use that Erev, then you can carry across that area if you like. If you're not, then you have to make sure to stay within the confines of the London Besen Erev.
In Israel, do all the Erevin each other?
So in Yerushalayim, no, so exactly, so very good. So in Yerushalayim, let's say if the reason why they're making an Erev of each area, let's say go to the area that I used to live in, so let's say on Shmuel Novi, it leads to Golda Meir and goes up to Ramot. So the areas on both sides like to make their own, they didn't want to include that area, the road, the main road, had the Chashash Rosh Hashanah Deraisa, and they want to exclude it from the Erev. So what they made is they made an Erev on the Sanhedrin Ramat Eshkol side, and another Erev on the Givas Moshe on the Kushmonim side. So if you are a member of the, if you don't want to rely on the wide Erev which did include that road, you can carry it in one side of Shmuel Novi Golda Meir, or the other side. But to carry across is ridiculous. You can't say I'm being machmir to only carry the Erev and then carry across the main road. When you're carrying across the main road, you're only in the much wider Yerushalayim Erev. So you're essentially relying on the Yerushalayim. So people, like I said, people who didn't want to carry themselves, but were happy for their wife to push, so they pushed till the main road. Their wife then pushed too long, and if they were nice, they took the buggy back on the other side of the main road. Say again?
What's the seichel in your wife being with
Chalashan? I have absolutely no idea. I never subscribed to that school of thought, but I believe that people do exist. Okay, so let's just finish off our scenarios where you may not need, our scenarios where you don't always need to mishtatef yourself in the Erev. For example, if you're a guest, today we came in Shin Sadi Beis, it came into that if you're a guest in someone's house, then you're a toffel to that person's house. And therefore, you wouldn't need to give it. Wouldn't necessitate joining the Erev. It's even true that in an area, for example, let's say I live in a cul-de-sac, and I have a very nice Erev. I have a Sirus Pesach across the front of my street, and all the Jewish members of our street have made an Erev together. And we'll leave the going for next time how to deal with non-Jews. But then there's an Airbnb on my street, and a nice foreign family moves in for Shabbos. What am I going to do now? So the answer is that as long as he's only an Oreach doesn't asa, if he's not there for 30 days, and even better, if he doesn't come regularly, it's not his regular house. If he comes regularly, it might be an issue, but as long as he's a one-off, where he's coming as a guest, he's bottle to the Bnei Achotzer. And therefore, the Erev doesn't, you don't need to worry about adding him to the Erev. He is automatically swallowed up with an existing Erev, and you can carry in the Batim and the Chatzeris. I was going to do is start our next topic, but I think we'll probably leave it till next time because it's a bit large. How to combine the two things. Okay, I'll start making an introduction very briefly. There's the Takana was divided into two. Reddy said earlier, in regards to the Mechitzas, that Chotzer and Mavri are two distinct areas. That Chotzer has its own Tikkun and Mavri has its own Tikkun. And we said nowadays we actually do so, especially anyway. When it comes to the Takana of Shleim HaMelech, there are also two levels. If I really wanted to make sure I can carry my klibayis in my chotzer but not into the mavui, you made an eruvei chatzeris. If you wanted to extend and carry your klibayis also into the mavui, you need something called a shittuf mavoyis. And because the usage of the chotzer and the mavui is different, then how you create your eruv and shittuf is also different. The use of a chotzer where we live together in the chotzer, it works by taking a piece of bread. It has to be bread. It might even need to be a whole piece of bread, a sholing. And we put it in one of the houses, and as we said, it works. It works we all live together. The shittuf mavoyis, essentially what it does is stage number two, and extends our chatzeris, which are already joined by the eruv, into the mavoy as well, which might include other chatzeris as well, and therefore doesn't have to be bread, it doesn't need to be in a bais, it can be lying in a chotzer, and that's stage two. So it basically extends our joint use, our joint bias and chotzer into the Mavi as well, so we can carry through. So just end off on something controversial. Where do we mention before, where do you put your Eruv? So ideally, you want to put it in, it has to be in a Makom Dira, where we can say that we're actually sleeping here. So the minig is to put it in a shul. And the Bach asks that Eruv Chatzeris, the asks on this minig, even though that's what we do nowadays, as you said, it's in the JLE. The minig is schwer, because the idea of Makom Pita Gerim is that we live together. If no one is eating their sudas in this house, or not, it's basic knesses. It's not basic knesses. May not even be allowed to eat in a basic knesses. Only basic medrash. Then chayr, it's not an ideal place to put an eruv. I was in Yerushalayim a few months ago, and I was in Moshe Steinbach's house, and there's a beautiful glass display unit of a box of shmura hand matzahs, and that was the eruv of the whole Yerushalayim is in the Gaiva of Yerushalayim's house, and it's sitting in his dining room, which is for sure ideal, because it's a Makom Dira as opposed to a shul. Have a wonderful day.
Shkoyach.
Huh? Probably Ada, which some people don't eat either. But.
Shkoyach.
Yeah. Of Ada, right?
I'm always hungry. It's all about food.
So why do you have to make another broth when you need your food out and fix it?
That's the success for that. Because when you make a broth in your house, and has all the mashai, you didn't depend on your broth on your lot.
As long as you're making sure you're carrying them, which is up to problem is in the street, without here, but it's not.
Anything that runs in the garden, not just on the garden. Anything that runs in the garden.
Yeah,
throw over a deck chair.
If it was in the house, it was in the house, but that's not a problem.
You can throw over a deck chair as well.
Okay. Yeah. You pass the deck chair across the garden, 100%. Your neighbor wants to borrow a deck chair on Shabbos. Was in the body, you'll have to give it in a Shabbos. Pass it.